Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
He is risen. Good morning, Hillcrest Baptist Church. It's so wonderful to be at Hillcrest Baptist Church this morning, serving a risen Savior. It's good to see everyone's beautiful faces this morning. I just have a few announcements before we welcome everybody. Wednesday night, we are starting back with normal routine. We will have GAs and RAs and youth. We will be actually meeting in the youth room this week, this Wednesday. So we ask that you join us and make sure that if you aren't feeling well, that you go ahead and stay home, and it's okay. And but try to stay socially distant if you do come. Other announcements? Let's see. What else do we have? April 9th and 10th. As youth, we are having a lock-in here at the church. We're going to play socially distant games. We're going to have some Bible study time, do some singing, and just have a good time. So we ask that you also come to that, youth. Let me know if you're going to be coming. You can. We got a Facebook page, and you can text Hannah or send a remind. Let us know that if you're coming. Sunday night stuff will resume next Sunday on April 11th. We will have just church, okay? Not just church, but we will have church on starting next Sunday at 6 o'clock. We will have services in the evening as well. But it is great to be getting back into the flow of things. And man, it's just wonderful to look out at a large crowd this morning. We want to welcome you, home folk and visitors alike. We welcome you to Hillcrest. And the way we're going to welcome each other is we're going to stand up, and as we sing, we're going to turn and we're going to wave.
Of the family of God, I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined hands with Jesus as we travel this heart, for a part of the family of God.
And you may be seated as we continue on with the Old Rugged Cross.
I will cling to the cross gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where is glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
And if you would please stand, we'll continue on with Were You There?
as a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all that guilty stays. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain is his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love shall be my theme, and shall be till I die.
Chills running up and down my back. Hasn't it been good so far? Yeah. I'm telling you, I am so thankful for what God does here at our church. He has brought a lot of people here that are very talented and a whole lot of people that love the Lord. And I hope that you have noticed that everything we have sang so far has to do with the cross. Today's message is going to zero in on the cross, and my prayer has been that God will just break our hearts today, make us realize that Jesus died on that cross. It wasn't a very pleasant experience either. It was very painful. Before the creation of this world, he knew that he would hang on that cross for us. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel special, because he knew exactly how I was going to grow up and who I was going to be, and yet he still died for my sins. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Let's go to the Lord and pray together. Father Almighty, we come to worship you on this special Easter morning, realizing how important the cross is in our life. I think about all the countries, Lord, that they grade a church like ours this morning and put us all in jail. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about all the people in the United States that have rejected the Lord. And Lord, they ridicule us and they make fun of us and they harm us. Some have given up their life to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to be a child of God, to know without a doubt that, Lord, once we quit breathing in this old body, that we'll be breathing in heaven face to face with you. What a glorious day, Lord, that will be. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being right here with us. I pray, God, that you would open up our hearts to the Word of God, that you would speak the truth, Father, through me. And Lord, there would be no opinion from Jerry. It would be the words that you've given me. Lord, we love you and we praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 17 and 18, two verses we'll start out with. And we're going to talk about the cross all around the Bible. So 1 Corinthians, we'll start out there. And we'll go other places throughout. First Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. The Bible starts, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The title of this message is The Cross, but I want you to hear that there's nothing simple about our cross. The cross is where Jesus died for our sins, for us, each one of us. I believe in my heart that Jesus knew our names when he died on that cross. I believe that he knew you'd be here today, and if you're not here, he knew that. He didn't take lightly the cross, and we shouldn't either. In fact, look at the last part of verse 18. "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I want you to look at that cross. See, we've got four of them in here. Just look at it and realize the thought that the power of the cross is salvation. It's our place in heaven, our place with the Lord after we pass from this earth. I've got a preacher friend that shared a story about this cross, and I want to share it with you. He was telling the story. George Solomon was a former cabinet leader in the Soviet Union, a personal pupil of Karl Marx, and a friend of Vladimir Lenin. However, he fell out of favor with the party and fled to Belgium for refuge. With his atheistic philosophy of life, and in other words, he denied Christ existed, he had no inner strength, no hope, no relief, and he intended to commit suicide. On his way to the post office with his last letter to his wife, he saw a small cross on the sidewalk. He raised his leg to stomp it and crush it, but was suddenly and strangely stopped. He picked it up and took it back to his hotel room, where he sat there and stared at it. He stared for some time, and he felt led to call a pastor, and they talked for several hours, at the end of which Solomon cried out to God for forgiveness. Staring at that cross brought new life to that man. That is the power of God. I used to have a little cross, a little wooden cross about that big, hanging in my office. And that's the size of the cross I thought about when this man wanted to stomp it. And how many little crosses are in our homes, and our children carry little crosses. And in fact, I don't have that cross anymore. I gave it to somebody. And there's power in that little cross when you stare at it, when you dwell on it, when you realize what Jesus did for us. So I want us to kind of think about the power of the cross as we look at all these verses that we're going to today. So let's start out answering the question, why did Jesus even have to die on the cross? He could have saved us in many different ways. He could have just told you, you're saved. But he chose the cross. But what was the reason he had to die in the first place? So if you would, run back to chapter 6 of Genesis. And we'll go all the way back and figure out why Jesus had to die for our sins. Chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And as I read these, there's not much difference what's happening today and what happened back in this time. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And I want you to picture Jesus, Lord God, watching and looking, and he sees what he sees. Then the Lord saw, he saw with his eyes, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible tells us what God saw. He saw that wickedness was great here on earth. In fact, the Bible says he was sorry that he created us, man, and the intentions of our heart was wickedness. You know how I prepare for these messages. I put it down when I write down these verses and write a few thoughts about it, and I pray through it, and I try to picture how God sees us, and so I kind of compared it to what we see today. And I wonder what God thinks about us, not necessarily us here, but us on this earth. What does he think? What does he see? Does he see pure wickedness still? And I'm sure he does. Run over to Mark and let's look and see what Jesus saw in the people some 2,000 years ago. As we think about from Noah to Moses to us and all throughout what Jesus saw. Mark chapter 7. Verses 20-23. And Jesus said, what comes out of a man that is what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride and foolishness. And all these evil things come from within and defile a man. So I'm picturing what Jesus sees. And it's really not very pleasant what he sees. He sees adulteries and fornications and murders. And you know, you turn on the news and what do you see the first thing they talk about? Somebody killed somebody. Every single day there's murders going on. We see within marriages, adultery is going every day. We covet things still. There's wickedness abounding, deceit, that means lying. We tell lies, lewdness and immoral thoughts and an evil eye and blasphemies and pride and foolishness. That's the things that Jesus actually saw. So as he's looking at us today, I wonder what he sees. Hopefully he sees that we're different. I hope that we're different. So the answer to why Jesus had to die on that cross is this: the wickedness of man's heart, sin. Wickedness was great, and God was sick and sorry that he created us. I want you to dwell on that for a second. Isn't that a horrible statement that God looked at man and said, I'm so sad. I'm so sorry that I created them. I'm going to wipe them out. I'm sure grateful that he leaves a remnant anytime he gets mad at us. But wickedness, wickedness, wickedness. We hear that throughout the Old Testament. But let me bring that up to today's language. We call it sin. Any wickedness is sin. And what's the Bible tell us? It's in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why would he have to write something like that? That's why he had to hang on that cross, because every single one of us since Adam's time has been born in sin, and something had to be done. We were separated from God. The world, the kingdom of Satan, would have you believe that sin is okay. You do what you want to do. You do what makes you feel good. We see commercials all the time building us up, wanting to do something that's not biblical. It may not be exactly wrong, but it's not biblical. And Satan would say, yeah, go ahead and do that. But God had to die on the cross for us. But if God was here today speaking to us, he would tell us in a simple language, sin is bad. Sin is very bad. It hurts you. It blocks your potential. It controls you. It actually destroys you. But most of all, sin separates us from having a relationship with God. It puts us outside of a relationship with God. So something had to be done. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Because we were separated from God by sin. He hung on that cross. You know the rest of the story. We'll talk about that in a minute. What can be done about sin? He hung on the cross because sin has to be forgiven. Again, I put my papers down, I put my Bible down, and I had to pray through this. If we want a relationship with the Lord Jesus, with God the Father, we have to be forgiven of that sin that's in our hearts. The intentions of our heart is continually wicked, sinful. We just can't help it. We're born with it. God knows that, and he realizes that something had to be done, and he had Jesus hang on that cross for us. So my question to us today is, have we asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins? Have you invited the Lord Jesus in your heart? As you look at that cross, if you have, praise God. But if you've skirted around that issue all your life, look at that cross and realize that Christ died for you. He died for our sins. He died for me. I don't know about you, but it really hurt my heart when I read that he was sorry that he created man. And I reviewed some of my life, my past life, and I know that God looked down at me and said, shook his head, boy, he needs help. And I did, and I do. You do too. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to be forgiven for sin, God required blood. He required something, an animal, a bull, a goat, a sheep, to be killed, sacrificed, and the priest would put it on the altar and pray forgiveness for us. God still requires blood. Run over to chapter 9 of Hebrews. If you go to James, you went too far. Hebrews chapter 9, realizing that God still requires blood to forgive us of our sins. And I'm sure glad that God doesn't require us to kill a bull today or a sheep or a goat and slash their throat and bleed them out. But God did require some blood, so let's look at it and hear what God has to say about this. Hebrews 9:22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. They're made pure. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. God tells us there has to be blood to be forgiven. That's God's words. That's not mine. That's not my opinion. But keep on going to Hebrews chapter 10 and look at verses 5 through 10. Therefore, when Jesus came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. This is Jesus speaking to God. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no more pleasure. Back in the old days, that's what he took pleasure in, no more. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God, to do your will, Father. Previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. But he said, behold, I've come to do your will, God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that we will have been sanctified through the offering, now hear this, of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus replaced the Old Testament blood sacrifices. He became the sacrifice that hung on that cross. His blood was spilt for our sins. This morning at our Easter sunrise service, we celebrated the Lord's Supper again. And as we took the drink, that's a picture of Jesus' blood cleansing us, purifying us. Keep on going in Hebrews 10 and look at verses 11 through 14. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Can you picture that? Jesus hung on that cross. He died on that cross. He was buried on, and then he resurrected, took our sins, and sitting at the right hand of Father. You know what he's doing at the right hand of the Father right now? He's interceding on our behalf. He's praying for you guys right now. He's praying for the preacher that he gets these words right. He wants this word, his word, to go out today to touch hearts. That's why we're here, to leave different than we came. Verse 13, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstools, for by one offering he was perfected forever. Those who are being sanctified, well, that's us. Those of us that are saved because of that blood, we're being sanctified. We're being made ready. We're being made righteous and holy. Verse 15, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us after he had said before. All this to say that Christ had to die on that cross. He had to shed his blood for our sins and prepare a way for us to get to heaven. Now, let me take a second, and I want to look around. As I look around, this will take me just a moment. What a glorious day. I have to look at that corner for quite a while to make sure, but what a glorious day it's going to be when we pass from this earth and meet in heaven together. Amen? We are the ones sanctified by the blood of God if we believe that he died on that cross for our sins. That's what this is all about today, to make sure that we believe that Jesus died for our sins, that we accept him as that one way to get to heaven. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Once you say, no one comes to the Father except through me. We may have done things different our way, but that's the way Jesus intended it to be from day one, from the creation of this world. Before the creation of this world, he knew that we were going to be sinful. He knew that God had to turn his back on sin. In fact, Jesus hung on that cross. He felt the aloneness of being without Father because of our sins. Remember the song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Amen. Y'all just sound so good. I'm taking notes who sang, by the way. We have it on camera, so when we start singing in the choir, I want you to understand today, if you don't understand anything else, the love of Jesus to hang on that cross, what it meant to him. We're going to look in just a second at Isaiah chapter 53, and it describes the way Jesus hung on that cross and what he went through. But let me quote one verse to you just to show you the tremendous love that Jesus had for each one of us. And that means us right now. You may not feel like Jesus loves you. You may not feel like anybody else loves you. But let me tell you, this verse was written for every one of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not die, but have what? Everlasting life, eternal life. Again, as I look around, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to be forever. I'm going to tell you, this is not in my notes, but if you don't like me now, you better get over it. If you think this bald head is not very attractive, get over it. We're going to be in heaven forever, for eternity. That's a long, long time. You know, I could carry on about that one for a long time. Husband and wife says, you're not getting together at all. You better get over that too, because you're going to spend eternity with your spouse. It's going to be marvelous. It's going to be great. Amen. It's going to be the greatest thing, boy. Well, let's run over to Isaiah chapter 53 and just kind of picture in your mind as I read through these verses what Jesus had to go through just to save us from our sins. It starts out Isaiah 53 verse 1. And who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? That could be said of today. Who believes the report of the gospel? Who believes that Jesus died on that cross, he was buried, and rose the third day? And we do, but there's 9 billion people almost in this world, and I guarantee you 8 billion of those people probably don't believe our report. I'm very grateful that we're in the United States of America where we can preach it without somebody coming through those doors and arresting us. Who believes our report? I hope that every one of us can raise our hand. I do. I do. I do. Amen, Bobby. Do you?
Amen.
All righty. Amen. We're going to look at verses 2 through 5. This gives us a description of Jesus. God the Son, as he grows up on this earth, and it's a picture of our Savior, why he had to hang on that cross for us. So look at verses 2 through 5 of Isaiah 53. For Jesus shall grow up before God as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he has been wounded for our transgressions. He has been wounded for our sins. In fact, I wrote in my Bible, pierced with nails for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes and death we are healed. Man, I put it down, and I've been dwelling on the cross ever since I read this, and the tremendous love that God had for us. The Bible starts out comparing Jesus to a tender root, a root out of dry ground. This is kind of a picture of Jesus growing up on this earth. I'm talking about God growing up on this earth, separated from heaven, separating from his Father, from the power of being God. He's separated from all that so that he could die on that cross for us. What tremendous love he had. The Bible says he wasn't a man of beauty that people would want to be his best friend. In fact, the Bible said they despised him, and they continue to despise him and reject him today. He was a man full of sorrows, and I'm sure one of the thoughts that he looked and saw and thought about was how far we've gotten away from God. Now, think about that statement for just a second. You look around in Clarksville, look around in the United States, how far we've gotten away from God's teaching, how far we've gotten away from walking with the Lord. We've been bombarded with everything but Jesus. We've bought into it. Even in church today, we've got these speakers. I'm hooked up on this. We've got video up on the wall. When that thing goes way haywire, we can't throw the songs up there and the scripture up there. We don't know what to do. Help! And I call Alex, get this thing straightened out. We've made church so hard to do. We get so far away from just the down, getting in the presence of God on our knees. What would happen if all of us just gathered right there in the middle and said, forget all this other stuff, and let's just get down and on our knees and pray together, love each other, care for each other. What do you need me to pray for? What do you need me to do for you? And just everybody, all in a big circle. You know, back 2,000 years ago, they'd meet in church, meet in homes. And I guarantee you they had little prayer meetings that just went on and on and on and on. They loved each other and cared for each other, prayed for each other. We've gotten so far away from the Lord. I know he looks now and sees the sin in this world. He knew he would have to shed his blood in Isaiah 53. He knew that he'd have to shed that blood for us. 2,000 years ago, when he was born as a baby, he knew why he came here, so that he would shed his blood willingly so that you and I could have eternal life. Keep on going and look at verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah 53. Or, 53, verse 10 and 11. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I wrote in my Bible, to crush him. He has put Jesus to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by the knowledge. My righteousness servant shall justify many. When we think about what God did for us, and then as we accept him as our Savior, we become his seed. And he looks down and he's well pleased with us. The angels rejoice when somebody gets saved. I mean, they have just a grand old time celebrating. Another one got saved today. Two more got saved today. 150 got saved today worldwide. I don't know how many people's going to get saved today, but I guarantee you it'd be a lot, because the Word of God's being preached. Thank you, God, for loving us and putting up with us and being our Lord, our Savior. I want to kind of wind this down and think about God again, Jesus, and look at John chapter 19, one verse. I want you to think about what Jesus actually says in verse 30. When Jesus has received the sour wine, he said three words: "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He died. It is finished. What Jesus came to earth to accomplish is finished. Jesus died for every sin that had ever been committed, that is being committed, that will be committed. It is finished. He became our sin. God became our sin. Jesus became our sin. As God the Father looked at Jesus Christ, remember Jesus yelling out to God, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? Because he had our sin on him, and God couldn't stand to look at sin. That's the tremendous love of a father and a son giving their life for us. It is finished. So simple to invite the Lord in our lives and receive eternal life with him. It's finished what he did on the cross. He hung on that cross for our sins. When we believe that he hung on that cross for our sins and ask him into our heart, guess what? Eternal life. He died, he was buried, and arose so that those who believe in him will be resurrected, will be taken up to heaven as he was. When a believer's body dies, this body, it quits breathing, doesn't it? But this soul never quits breathing. We go up to heaven. And I like to say at a funeral, we experience life more abundant than we ever knew down here. You take your last breath here in this old body that wears out. Paul calls it a tent. And it gets diseased, it gets cancers, we're malnutrition and all that stuff that we experience. And it's laid down never to breathe again here on earth. Faster than a second, we're up with Jesus in heaven to those that believe. It is finished. He defeated Satan. He defeated death. He provided the way for eternal life. When you accept Jesus dying on the cross, believing that he substituted himself for your sins, The Father blots out your sin right then. Jesus becomes your sin. He takes your sins and forgives them. God cancels your sin by His grace and remembers them no more. Don, what would I say to that? That's exactly right. I'm looking at a lot of sinners that God has forgiven and taken your sin away. And God canceled. No wonder we can go to heaven, because if we were sinful, we could not even be in the Father's presence. Jesus shed His blood on that as a rescue line to us. Pretty good stuff. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life to those who are in Jesus Christ our Lord. On the cross, because Jesus said it's finished, we're not finished. We have eternal life forever and ever and ever. So you have choices to make today. Two choices, really. You either accept Jesus' death and life eternal, or you reject Jesus and you'll spend eternity in hell. Two choices. Accept Jesus or reject Him. I've got a favorite, one of my favorite preachers, Billy Graham. I just love to read him, and I read this, and I thought, well, this would be good to read to you guys. It's the key moment in history, he writes. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives, believes in me, will never die. Isn't that good? If you believe in Jesus, you'll never die. You die to your sins that day you give your life to the Lord. On that first Easter morning, something happened that had never happened before in the history of human race and would never happen again. Someone came back from the dead, never to die again. What difference does that event make? It makes all the difference in the world to us. For one thing, the resurrection proved beyond all doubt that Jesus was who He claimed to be, the Son of God sent from heaven to save us from our sins. Because He rose from the dead and our salvation is secure. But Jesus' resurrection also tells us that there is life beyond the grave. The world is not all there is when we die. We continue to live, either in the place of utter darkness, or what the Bible calls hell, or in a place of endless joy, the Bible calls heaven. And now Jesus has opened the way to heaven for us by His death and resurrection. Because Jesus rose from the dead, death has been defeated and heaven awaits us. And he writes, hallelujah. That Billy Graham writing that devotional, how true it is. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in me, you'll get that life and you'll have resurrection as well. Let's pray. Father, Lord, the message today has been about the cross and Jesus shedding His blood on the cross because of that sin that we read in Genesis chapter 6, that man's thoughts were continually on wickedness. And God, today, the same thing, men and women are continually thinking about wickedness until we choose to accept You as our Savior. God, I pray that You have spoken to somebody's heart. And Lord, if they're not walking with You, if they've never given their life to You, today would be the day that they would accept Jesus as their Savior. God, let us all know what You went through to die on that cross for us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your tremendous love to allow Yourself to be nailed to that cross for us, to suffer the agony, the pain, the rejection. Lord, it's just hard for us to fathom what you went through. But we know you did, and we praise you for it. Speak to our hearts, Father, during this time of invitation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to come forward if you've never invited Jesus into your heart. I'm going to be down standing down on the floor in just a second. I sure would love to pray with you. And if you've never invited the Lord in your heart, I'll tell you how to do that. That's real simple. Just call on the name of the Lord, and the Bible says you shall be saved. Other decisions could be made. This morning during the sunrise service, there were some decisions made. One couple rededicated their lives to the Lord, and God is always moving. I know that. There's decisions to be made about church membership, about baptism, about rededication, about just getting right with each other. Whatever God speaks to your heart, why don't you respond to God and just do? You know, like the Nike commercial, just do it. Just don't get right with God. So let's stand, and if God speaks to you, I'll be glad to pray with you up here.
Shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, up yonder I'll be there. On that bright and cloud this morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Let's pray. Almighty Father, what a joy it's been to be in the house of God today. I pray, Lord, that the rest of the day we think about the cross and the importance of the cross in our life. And Lord, give us an opportunity to dwell on it and sometimes share it with others. Be with each one as they leave. I pray a blessed day, Father. I pray families that are together, that they'd enjoy each other's company. And Father, at the end of this day, we'll put our head on our pillow just knowing that we celebrated the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Be with us now, Father, as we go. I pray for traveling mercies, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.